Gosh, I was going to go into my little Linus, Christmas monologue in the light. And they were sore afraid. And yeah. I love that we can do this. That was totally spontaneous, obviously. We didn't know what the testimony was going to be, but a need for a job and for Todd to say, hey, so into them, and all of you come up, and then we can pray for you. And clearly it's meeting a deep need. What I love about it is heaven forbid that lives should get in the way of our program, you know? You know what I'm saying? It's like, gosh, this is the real deal. This is where the rubber meets the road. And that was God planned, even though we didn't plan it, because he wanted to encourage all of you who came up here. And I am totally expecting that we're going to hear a lot of amazing testimonies soon. Virginia was just whispering over my shoulder, somebody else that had this money story, and all of a sudden $700 shows up here and $100 in a book there. And God can do it in a lot of different ways. But anyway, I just think that was so cool that we could do that. Tonight, I'm gonna share, give a message on, the title is Grace and Confrontation, which is a little different than you would normally hear. And I'm going to tell you why we're doing this in just a minute. But the grace, man, we love to hear about that. Grace, 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 grace. God doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. that we're in because of grace. We're in. Confrontation, on the other hand, for a lot of us, that's not even the word itself is not a fun word. Because of either how we were confronted, or sometimes we tried to confront others and it didn't go well. But we're going to talk about that tonight. But I will just say this, that for a lot of us, when it comes to confrontation, we are like George McFly. So there. Just no good at confrontation. Just a minute, they're going to put up my keynote. This is a culture, a church, where we talk a lot and emphasize over and over and over grace, love, acceptance. You're approved of. Nothing's impossible for you. The sky's the limit. I mean, I go on and on and on. Those are the things that we just keep on emphasizing here. Because you have to know, you've got to know the Father loves you. You must know that he approves of you. You have to know that Jesus has done it all for you. That it's not about your performance, that you're already accepted by the Father because of what Jesus has done for you. There we go. Oops. Didn't want all those. Let's try one more time. That's the basis that we have been going over and going over and going over for years. Partly because we always have new people coming in. We have to keep reminding people, because it's amazing how much Christians beat themselves up mercilessly. And I will tell you, a defeated Christian like that isn't going to do a whole lot for the Lord. You've got to know how awesome you are. So we have this, we value in this church our covenant relationship with God and with one another. I want to remind you again, because we've defined this many times before, but one definition of covenant love is, I'm in this for your best. All the time. Then no matter what you do, God says, I'm still in it for your best. Yeah, God, but I totally messed up. How can you even love me anymore? He says, no, no, no. Listen, here's the deal. Here's the covenant. I'm in this for your best all the time. I'll turn it around again for you because that's how much I love you. And we're learning to have those kind of relationships with each other. You know, we're learning that what God shows us, we can then have with each other. But I will tell you, you cannot have this covenant love that extends grace without confrontation. You really can't have one without the other. And honestly, you know, if I were giving us a grade, you know, we get an A plus in my book, you know, with the grace and the honor and the love and acceptance and all that. I mean, nobody's perfect. So we get an A plus because Jesus gave us an A plus. But I will say, as far as the confrontation part, that's kind of something God is adding on now and saying, okay, if you really want to go to the places, just the greatness that I have for you, it's going to require a group of people that actually trust each other so that we will actually be able to speak into each other's lives and call out that greatness. And when things happen that where somebody is not acting as they really are in Christ, that we actually have the ability to help them. Without that, if it's just grace and love with no confrontation, that's actually not a safe place. We've spoken about this a little bit, but I want to tell you that this week, I know next week the Folklers are going to talk about some more relational things and also just process things, how God processes things with us. It's not all instantaneous, even though we all would love it to be that way. God, just do it all right now. What we are saying is that, and this, when we went to the Advance at Bethel last November, we came away from that as a leadership team realizing this was kind of like the next steps that God was taking us as a leadership into, and which includes all of you who call Blazing Fire a family, that we all need to go to these next places together. And so, you know, it's going to take some time. It's certainly not going to happen listening to me talk for 30 or 45 minutes. That's not going to do it. But this is just the beginning of saying, all right, what we have is amazing. And I don't want anyone here to get nervous, like, oh shoot, it was so good, and now it's going to get really ugly. No, it's not. It's going to get better and better and better. And God knows how to take us to those next places, and this is part of that. And I also want to say just from the start, this is for all of you here, that I am not preaching this sermon to any single one of you in particular. because I'll tell you what, that's actually really unhealthy if I was doing that. This is for all of us. And so let me do one more here. The question is, do I love you enough to want to help you heal? That's really the question. Do I love you enough to want to help you heal? And that's why confrontation in the right way, which we'll explain, is actually really necessary in the body of Christ. Here's an interesting thought, okay? Jesus, as you I'm sure you know, had zero problems with confrontation. He was a pretty secure dude. He was very secure. He is very secure. But when he walked the earth, he was very secure. He knew who he was in the Father. He certainly wasn't in the people-pleasing business. But he had no problems with confronting people. Without confrontation, a woman would have been stoned to death in front of Jesus for her sin. In fact, I want to, just for a moment, I think I passed over it a minute ago, but just for a moment, I believe it's John chapter 8, verses 6 through 11. Just for a minute, I want to go to that, because it's amazing what Jesus did in the way of grace and confrontation. First of all, for the Pharisees who were dragging this woman out, trying to trap Jesus, what's he going to do? He offered amazing grace to them when he instead of saying to them, "Hey, you bunch of lowlifes, you know, scumbags, leave her alone," he didn't do that. He said, "Tell you what, how about the first one? You know, the one of you who's out without sin, you can throw the first stone." And then he even bends down and writes, you know, on the sand, giving them time to process this. He was not up in their face, which would have produced a very different reaction. But he gave them grace. I'm going to let you think about this for a minute. Is this really what you want to do? And then they began to walk away. Okay. Then with the woman, he gives her tremendous grace. Has no one condemned you? Neither do I. I do not condemn you. Now go and sin no more. There's the confrontation. You know why? Because in that moment, and this is what happens, this is why we need each other in the right kind of confrontation, is that there are certain times when we don't see things clearly because we're not, in that moment, we're not flowing in the Spirit. We're not flowing in the truth of the Spirit. And so sometimes we do silly things, wrong things. So we have Jesus saying, you know what, to this woman, he says, you know, right now I'm seeing things a little bit more clearly than you, and there's something you're involved in that's really going to hurt you, so don't do that anymore. But that was after extending the grace to where she knew that he was for her. He had already stood up for her. Now he has the right, you know, to say, hey, this isn't a good thing. It's going to hurt you. Don't do that. Without confrontation, the disciples would have called down fire, the wrath of God, on people, and we'd probably be doing the same. That's what they wanted to do. If Jesus were like, oh, I don't think that's a good idea, but he didn't say anything, they'd be doing that. He says, no. That's not God's plan. Without confrontation, we'd all be knocking each other over to sit at Jesus' right and left in his kingdom. Right? That was the argument. We're going to sit at your right and your left. He says, no, that's, you know what? It's not even my place to give it, but no, that's not going to work. No, you're going to be servants. Whoever wants to be great among you, you're going to be servants first. Here's one from Paul. Without confrontation, we'd all be working our heads off to keep the laws perfectly, to try and please God without any success. If there was no confrontation, I mean, take a look at Galatians chapter 3 as one example, where he says, you silly, silly, silly Galatians, what are you doing? It was by grace you got into this thing. What makes you think by your efforts you're going to complete what God started? Silly, silly people. That's confrontation. That was actually, he said, you know, stupid people. You stupid Galatians. There are times where you can be very confrontational, but understand, Paul sowed love and love and love and love and grace into them. This is who you are. You're amazing. Now look, this isn't going to work. This thing about you working harder, forget it. Stop it. It's not going to work. Don't do it. Grace, confrontation. They actually go together. All right. So before we get into what confrontation looks like, I want to talk about what doesn't work. The first... You all set? Okay. The first thing that doesn't work is avoidance.
Respect for acting. Respect for acting. I would like a little respect for my acting. Oh, Lord. You know what I've done. You know how I've put... I've put so much into this, Lord. So disappointed. I deserve better. The friend of Mary. Lord, speak to me. Help me, Lord. Help me. Well, actually, it's Susan who needs help. Susan cast the wrong person. She cast the wrong person. It should have been me. Lord, you can change her heart. You can change her mind, Lord. I've always been Mary in the play. I've always done it, Lord. I deserve it. I do all the costuming. I do everything. Just because I cried so loud that they couldn't hear the choir. That shows how good I was. Okay.
Okay. Oh, and did you want that extra hot whip?
Extra chocolate.
Extra chocolate. Good. Okay.
Shoot. Susan. Maybe she won't see me. Let's see her. Shoot. Oh, Jesus. Change her mind, Lord. Help her see, Lord, who really deserved that role with me, Lord. Oh, shoot. Oh, Susan. Hi.
Donna, it is so good to see you.
Yes, isn't it?
You know, it was such an amazing time last night.
Oh, you think so?
I do. It was. The group is coming together so good. This is going to be the best Easter musical ever. And you know, I just think you're going to be so perfect as the friend of Mary. Oh, you just do that part so well. You really do.
Thank you.
You've got the chemistry for it. It's just great.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But I was wondering, you left a little early. Are you doing okay?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm so fine. I am really, really fine.
Oh, I was just wondering. I didn't know if I was just imagining it.
Maybe
something.
I'm a little tired, but yeah, I'm really fine.
Yeah. Well, is it, can I...
I think your coffee's ready, Susan.
Okay, well, good. Well,
yeah.
You just have a really good time. I mean, I guess I'm interrupting your time with the Lord, I think.
Yes.
So good. It was just so good to see you, and I'll just see you next week. We're going to have it'll be a great time next week when we get together. Bye-bye.
Yeah. The friend of Mary. I don't even think there's a friend of Mary in the Bible. I mean, I'm sure she had friends, but I've never seen a friend of Mary. She is so clueless.
I'm sure that nobody in this room has ever avoided somebody that you didn't particularly want to talk to right then. But it is something that we all do, and especially if we don't learn some skills otherwise, or learn that it's an okay part of the culture, then a lot of times we just learn to kind of stuff it and avoid people altogether, which, as you can tell, is absolutely not the healthiest way of doing things. So there's another one. Gossip. Venting, because sometimes we like to call it other things. Oh, I'm not gossiping, I'm just venting. So I thought I'd go ahead and put it up there in the same category. so that we couldn't skate around that one. So this is another thing that doesn't work, is gossip.
Hello? Carol Lenny?
Yes. Yes, Carol. Yeah, I'm doing fine. Mm-hmm. Well, did you hear about what happened in the drama department? Well, you know, I always play Mary, and she cast me as the friend of Mary. The friend! Can you believe that? Who is going to hold Jesus in their arms and cradle his face like I always did? I know. Well, I'm kind of thinking that, you know, maybe there's stuff going on in her family. Well, I heard that she was having problems with her. Well, you know, we should just pray. We should just pray, you know, and I, no, I would never gossip. That is a sin. Yeah, but I did hear that they were having a little financial problems too, so we should just, Lord, help her, Lord, bless her, yes. What? Oh, okay, you gotta go? Okay, goodbye. Sally? Hi, Sally, this is Donna. How are you doing? Well... I just think we need to pray. I was a little concerned at drama last night.
you know, some of the things just didn't feel right to me, and I just think that we really need to bring this before the Lord. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, no, it has nothing to do with me being the friend of Mary. No. Okay. Well, what? You have to go? Oh, she is so clueless.
All right. So... Yeah, there's a reason why God has told us that this isn't a good plan. And part of it is this whole thing of what we're speaking, we're actually prophesying into our own self or other people's lives. And we really don't yet, and I include myself in this, you know, none of us are perfected, none of us have arrived. But I'm saying that we don't really fully understand yet that everything we speak is either life or death. Everything we speak is life or death. And so we really need to be careful. So that, you know, just as we in this culture, as we've gotten really good at building up, seeing the treasures, telling people how amazing they are, wouldn't it be awesome if we got to a place where we never had to worry about who was around, that we would say the same thing whether they were there or whether they weren't there. That's really where God wants to take it. He wants us to be authentic inside and out, not an act. That's actually the word hypocrisy comes from, you know, the acting things out. And so we're not trying to put on an act when others are around. It's just got to be who we are through and through. But again, as I said before, it only happens as we first know that God thinks we're awesome, regardless of mistakes we've made or other things. That's how we turn around and see the best in others. All right, and there's one more that doesn't work. That's triangulation. Triangulation. Let me just explain that a minute. You can imagine 3 points, a triangle, right? Triangulation is we'll just use these two bottom as points as two people that maybe have an issue, so or maybe just one has the issue against the other. But you have two people here, and they want to bring a third person into this. That's triangulation, where they say, rather than us working it out, we're going to go up to this third person. Usually it's one person will go up to the third person and say, you know, can start with the whole gossip thing. But the idea is, I want you to deal with this for me, because I don't like doing this. I don't like confrontation, so you handle it for me. Problem is that it doesn't build relationships. And I will tell you this, that as a pastor, I had to learn this the hard way, and that is triangulation doesn't work. It just doesn't work. When I get one person telling me, this person did that, if I go to that person without this person being around, it never works. It just doesn't work. I come and say, well, this person said you did this, and they said, No, I didn't. I don't know what you're talking about. Where do you go from there? End of story. So actually, what I found out is that becomes quite a field day for the enemy. I'm going to talk Matthew 18 a little bit later just to tell you how this fits in with a third person. All right? But you understand what I'm saying, triangulation? Actually, you know what? Here's a great example is two kids that are in a room fighting, and then one of them runs, busts out the door because they have an argument, and they go get mom. Joey did this. And if you don't know what it is and you just come in and say, Joey, why'd you do that? You know, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work because it wasn't the full story. Anyway, you understand. So, triangulation. Do we have a second mic somewhere? Microphone?
Give it to her. Pastor Pratt!
Donna, it is so good to see you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, Pastor Brent.
Yes.
Is this on? Can you hear me? Oh, Pastor Brent.
Yes.
I'm so glad you're here because I was just at Trader Joe's.
You were.
I was driving down the road and all of a sudden I felt like the Lord said, go to Trader Joe's. So
wow.
I went to Trader Joe's,
yeah.
And I was just like wandering through the aisles saying, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. What is it, Lord? You have something to say. Pastor Brent.
Yes.
He sent me down the chocolate aisle.
He didn't.
Yes, yes, yes. And guess what I have for you?
What do you have for me?
Oh my gosh, Pastor Brent. They were on sale. I got you 100 bars of chocolate.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. But you know, don't.
Thank you.
Listen,
so much. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You don't even actually have to thank me. I thought I would just turn it in as a tithe. Oh. Or, you know, maybe a charitable contribution, benevolence. Should we just let Suzanne figure that
out? Yes, that would be great.
So
be
anyway.
Great.
So, Pastor Brent.
Yes.
I was just wondering, also, how did you like that coffee cake that I sent you at Christmas time?
It was wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. And the boys. Oh, your boys, they are getting better looking every day.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, they are just
Thank
so
you.
Wonderful. And that Suzanne, what a woman she is.
She's
what a
amazing.
Blessing from the Lord.
What's wrong, Donna?
Pastor Brent, I just... You know how I hate to bring problems to you and everything, but there's just something going on in the drama department.
What is it?
Well, I think that Susan is having some family issues. And...
What makes you think that?
Well, Pastor Brent, I know this is going to sound like I'm just complaining or something like that, but she put me in the role of the friend of Mary. The friend of Mary, Pastor Brent. The friend.
That's great, Donna. You'll do such a good job.
No, Pastor Brent,
You will do a great
job. You know, it's like seeing Jesus on the cross. And then just being able to rejoice when he's resurrected, like, my friend,
You did a great job last year. You did fantastic.
I know.
This will give someone else a chance.
Pastor
isn't that a good thing?
Do you know the hours I have put in? The costuming and typing all the little things up and stuff like that. It's
Thank you so much.
Pastor Brent.
Yes.
You have to talk to her. You have to talk to her because this is obviously a miscast. And I have talked to your secretary, and she said that if you okayed it, that she would put a meeting in at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. So thank you, Pastor Brent. And you know there are more chocolate where those came from.
No, Donna, you know what? It's not going to work that way because... Actually, a much healthier thing to do would be for you to talk to Susan, because you know what I know about her? She is really an amazing person. She will listen to you, and you can just share your frustrations with her. That'd be the most healthy thing to do.
Talk about healthy? We will talk about healthy, you know? I thought that I could count on you. You know? I thought I could count on you, Pastor Brent. I just have to say I'm a little... disappointed. And I didn't want to have to do this, but I may have to write a few letters. I'm going to pray about this, of course. And you are so clueless.
Now that
it
is an act, because Donna loves me. I love her. And that is one of the reasons why we don't want to do confrontation, because something like that might happen. But, you know, once again, I look at people like Jesus. He's one we're supposed to look at. He got some responses that weren't too kind. But he had a greater agenda, and his agenda was love. He saw beyond the immediate slap in the face, if that's what it was. But I will tell you that that doesn't need to be the way it happens at all. And that as we develop, you know, relationships where there's trust, where we know we're in it for each other's good, then that doesn't have to happen. There's one more thing. So we've talked about, what was it, avoidance, gossip, and triangulation. I would just say that there's one more thing that doesn't work, and that is being overly aggressive. That is just not a good, this does not work. It doesn't work. Here's another one that doesn't work. This is just a little too scary. You do not confront people with your guns loaded. It does not work. I'm telling you, you come in with your guns loaded, they're going to shoot back at you. And here's one more. I mean, this is just wrong, you know? This is like, I'm going to hurt you before you hurt me. Kung Fu Cat, in case you can't see that. This is what happens when we don't confront along the way. I'm really serious. What happens is when we won't engage in confrontation with each other, then what happens is it builds up. And either we just leave because we can't take it anymore, or at some point it boils up and we explode. And when we finally do confront them, it's no longer about helping them, and now it's about, you're not gonna hurt me, get away from me, whatever it is, you know, this thing. That's not the way to go. So, all right, so how do we go? We're gonna talk about confrontation that restores and builds up. Okay, this is God's plan here. This is from Galatians 6, chapter 1. He says, brothers, even if one of you is caught doing something wrong, those of you who are spiritual, now let me just stop there. I'm spiritual, you're not. No, it's not what he's saying. What I said before is, just like I said, sometimes people are not seeing it. In that moment, they are not walking in the Spirit. They're not seeing things as they really are. So if you're in a good place and you can help this person, they're saying, you need to do that. You should set that person right in a spirit of gentleness. Everybody say gentleness. In a spirit of gentleness. If you were always confronted by somebody with a spirit of gentleness, that would change things, wouldn't it? And here's the second part. And watch yourselves that you are not put to the test in the same way. In other words, we are all in the same boat. And we don't approach people, you don't go to people with a judgmental heart and say, how could you have done that? So it doesn't work. Immediately, you've lost all rapport. You've lost everything you were supposed to do in helping to build up and restore that person. Instead, what God's saying is, remember that it's only by grace that you're all right here with me, that I hold you all here. I don't exclude any one of you because of sin. Jesus took care of that problem. You're all in here with me. So when you approach my sons and daughters, you do so without a heart of judgment. You just come in and say, this is what I'm seeing, but you don't do it with, how could you, how dare you, I can't believe it, you should have known better. Some of you might have heard a few of these growing up, which is how we learned some of our confrontational, I'll call them non-skills. And so, but Holy Spirit can retrain us. Matthew 18, I told you I would talk about that for a minute, because this is like the big passage that comes up whenever you talk about working things out. Okay, so let's go ahead and look at that for a minute. I'm going to read it in two different passages, because it is important. I don't know if Tim in the room? Whoever knows how to turn on the AC, if they could do that. I'm hot. I don't know about you. But then I'm up in the lights. So So here's Matthew 18. If I jump right in and start talking about how you relate to people if there's a problem, we've already kind of missed part of the point. Because I don't know if y'all knew this, but when the Bible was written, there were no verses. Those were put in later for our benefit. And secondly, there were no subheadings. In fact, every Bible you have has different subheadings in it. But our problem is that we break things up because of that, and we jump into the next heading when we want to talk about something. But the author, it's this whole thing started with who's the greatest. It started with his argument about who's the greatest, and Jesus says, no, that's not going to work. You're going to have to come like little children. You're going to have to be servants. And it goes on, and then before the passage, it talks about the lost sheep. I'm not even going to read it. Verse 12, Matthew 18, 12. Tell me, Jesus says, suppose a man has 100 sheep and one of them strays. Will he not leave the 99 on the hillside and go in search of the stray? In truth, I tell you, if he finds it, it gives him more joy than do the 99 that do not stray at all. Similarly, it's never the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost. That is how you move into the next sentence. He's saying this is the Father's heart. He'll go after every single one. He doesn't want to lose a single one. That is the context of this verse right here. Verse 15, if your brother does something wrong, go and have it out with him alone between your two selves. If we would do that right there, all of us in this room, that would solve so many problems. If we would just know that God has empowered us, and I'll still give you some skills of the how, but God has empowered us to do that, it would solve so many problems. Just to go to somebody and just some of those simple communicative I statements that we've all learned in some seminar or another. When you did that, I felt afraid. I didn't like that. That's so okay to say that. I will even say in this room, and we've said this before, but if someone's coming up and they want to pray for you and you don't feel comfortable around them, please tell them so. That's what makes this place safe. I mean, I know many of you in this room, and I know your heart for Jesus, and that's what makes also this a very safe place. But it's even safer if you know you have the empowerment by God and by me as a leader to say, I don't know what it is, but I don't feel really comfortable when you're praying for me. Could you not do that? That's not so hard. You can do that. You can, if you want to, you can even say, maybe it's just me, but. You know, that's fine. That way you're not putting any blame on anybody. You're just saying, but I feel a little uncomfortable. That's okay. It's very okay to do that. So you and that person work it out. In fact, as we go on, when you look at this passage, most people are thinking about the big thing, some huge monstrous sin or thing in your relationship. I will tell you, confrontation, 99% of the time is going to be the little stuff. The little stuff that you're just afraid to say anything about. And I'm saying, no, it's okay. It's okay to do that in the right spirit, with a spirit that wants to restore and build a relationship. So go ahead and have it out with him between your two selves. If he listens to you, you have won back your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you. Remember, what's the goal? It's restoration. It's building up, right? So if you're smart, listen to me here. If you're smart, if you're trying to work it out with someone, and it's a relationship you care about, and you want this to be fixed, take someone who that person trusts. Hey, there's a good idea. That's just smart. If you take someone that person trusts, they're going to be much more able to engage with you and work it out. I will tell you, I've actually done this on occasion, and I'm remembering one time where two people need to work something out. And I said to them, you know what, I'm not going to fix it for you, but since it's a little dicey, it had been kind of a long-term thing, I said, I'll be there with you. And I sat down, and the first thing I said is, I basically built them both up and affirmed them as people, but said, okay, now I'm just going to be listening here. I'm here to make this safe for you, so that no low blows or anything, but I'm not going to fix this for you. And that was it. That was my introduction. And then I, for the next hour or so, I listened, and I got to tell you, I bit my tongue many times because we always want to interject our thoughts. And But that would have been the wrong thing to do. I said nothing. I just listened and listened. And then after, you know, and they worked it out great. And then at the end, I was able to just affirm them and add a little teeny bow on top. I mean, really, I talked just for a few minutes. That is healthy. That's healthy. If you need someone along because it's a little too scary for you, that's okay. As long as your heart is, gosh, God, relationships are so important to God. If you think about it, it's everything in the kingdom. It's everything. So whether it's your family relationships or whatever, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's just, if it's something you want, then I encourage you to ask God to give you the right heart to be able to approach that person. Okay? Let me keep going. There's a lot more I could say, but it says, but if he refuses to listen to these, report it to the community. And if he refuses to listen to the community, treat him like a Gentile or a tax collector. Now that sounds harsh, but let me tell you that that is like 0.0001% of the cases of what we're talking about. It really is. What that's saying is that basically, and I'll just use a church context, if there's a wolf in sheep's clothing whose sole purpose is to come here and destroy people and take out people, and actually there have been times where, a few times, where people have done things here that were not super appropriate. Like, there's been nothing horrible, honestly. But there have been a few times where we've had to go to people and say, that's not okay. And we've had to tell them a second time, that's not okay. And actually where we gave them a choice. If you're going to be here, you can't do those things. We want you here. But if you can't, then you need to go. We've done that once or twice ever in 7 years. That's actually safety for you. But I want to tell you, that's very much the exception, not the rule. That's a very rare thing when somebody has come in their extreme brokenness and they just won't listen to anybody, authority or otherwise. Well, that's somebody that after a while you really just have to give them a choice. If you're going to stay here, this is what it'll look like. If not, then I'm sorry, but you're going to have to go. That's an almost never thing. And that is certainly not something you would have to do. That's something by that point we would be involved. You all understand that. You know, you wouldn't come up here on the microphone when it's testimony time and say, I have a problem with so-and-so, and I'm just letting the whole community know it. No, that's not going to work. Let me read this one more time. I'm not going to, I did all my commenting on it, but let me just read it to you in the Message Bible, because I just think it really captures the essence of what this is about. And it says this. It says, if a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest. And try again. If he still won't listen, tell the church. If he won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over from scratch. Confront him with the need for repentance and offer again God's forgiving love. And let me tell you, the context, again, as it goes on, and remember, no verses, no chapter break headings. The next thing they talk about is, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive? Seven times seven? You know, seven times? Oh, no, 70 times seven. In other words, another way I like to say that phrase, when we ask God, how many more times am I going to have to forgive him? I hear Jesus saying, one more time, just one more time. Of course, he'll always answer that every time you ask. Oh, just one more time. Just one more time. Oh, just one more time. Who said the Christian life was easy? It's actually impossible. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's the Holy Spirit doing for you what you cannot do, but you have to be willing to let him work you over, you know? That's the honest truth. It's the honest truth. I'm just telling it like it is. All right. Oh, Luke 17. That's also where it says, how many times do I have to forgive? In fact, I'll read it only because it succinctly says everything that we just read in like one sentence. He just nails it. Let me read it really quick. Luke says, verses 3 and 4, if your brother does something wrong, rebuke him. See, this is part of their culture that's not part of ours. You know, it's not part of our American culture. We're not used to confronting people. He says, hey, if he did something wrong, rebuke him. Tell him that wasn't okay. I didn't like that. Okay? If your brother does something wrong, rebuke him. And if he's sorry, forgive him. And if he wrongs you seven times a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I'm sorry, you must forgive him. Boop. There it is. That was pretty succinct. It's just the way it is. All right. Goals to confrontation. I'm actually not going to spend a long time on these because I took these from Danny Silk's DVD, Keys to Confrontation, which you can find on their website, ibethel.org. It is worth its weight in gold. It's about, I don't know, an hour, hour and a half long. And it was so good. I watched it this week. And at the end of it is a testimony of how they worked with a couple in their school of ministry who fell and had sex and ended up getting pregnant. And, you know, they were not married yet. And so how they dealt with that using grace and confrontation, it's a fascinating, phenomenal story of God's way of doing things, which is very different than the way the church usually does things. It was very restorative. It's an amazing story. But he says, the goals to confrontation. The first is to introduce consequences into a situation that are for teaching and strengthening, not fear of increasing levels of punishment. So what that means is that if we're going to help someone along, we might say to them, you know, if you continue in that kind of behavior, it's going to affect relationships in this kind of a way. Is that something you want? See how different that is? That's just letting them know, if you keep going, right now you can't see what you're doing, but if you keep going that way, this is what's going to happen. It's going to hurt yourself and it's going to hurt other people. Those are consequences that you're letting them know for the purpose of teaching and strengthening them. But not, if you don't stop it, you're not going on that trip, you're not going to touch this people, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? You start going, you start cutting things off. Most of us were, you know, that's how we grew up. That's how our parents parented us. And all I'm saying is there's a better way. In fact, Danny Silk's material for any of you, I was going to say who are parents, but it doesn't matter if you're parents or not. His stuff on relationships, on problem solving, on confrontation, conflict resolution is astonishing stuff. And there's a whole series. What's the one for the parents? Loving on Purpose. Loving on Purpose is all of it. And it's like four DVDs. I want to tell you again, it's probably, I'm guessing, $100 or something, or maybe more. But it's so worth it. It will transform how you deal with people, whether it's your kids or anyone else. It's amazing stuff. But on to this. Another thing he said is the goal of confrontation is to bring to the surface what people forget about themselves after they have failed, which is, you are amazing. Did you know that that's part of confrontation? Is to say to somebody, not how could you have done that, but rather, you're way too awesome for that. You forgot who you were. Let me tell you again who you are. Let me tell you again that you are made in the image of God. You begin to restore them, and at some point they go, oh yeah, that's right. That's right. I forgot who I was. And here's another one. It's an invitation to strengthen a relational bond with someone, a test of the covenant. And I bet you don't think about confrontation that way, do you? I would like to strengthen this relationship, and confrontation will actually do that. It will. I shared this the night we had the elders here up here, but as loving and grace-filled and encouraging as we have been with each other, there were a few difficult times, and a very few, but I could probably count them on one hand, but when they happened, they sure didn't feel good, and part of that fear is, oh no, are they out of here? Am I not going to be accepted? Did I cross over the line? And what we discovered was when we moved through those places together and actually talked through it, you know, we confronted each other, things maybe we didn't agree with each other, once we moved through it, we came out the other side stronger than ever because that covenant was strengthened. Wow, they're not going to run. This is very true, husbands and wives, very true. You're going to have difficulties, but when you work through them, when you move through them, instead of avoidance or screaming at each other, but when you actually listen to each other and move through it, you will come out the other side stronger than when you started. That's a really good word right there. That's something for you all to remember. Because that's God's plan. Not that you're perfect and you never argue. That's not the point. The point is, do you have His heart of love and grace and acceptance where you can see past the yuck in the moment and see the treasures in that person and say, you are worth it. I'm going to work through this because you're worth it. That's God's plan. And lastly, strategically applied pressure to expose areas that need strength and grace. Doesn't that sound fun? The analogy he used was when a tire gets popped, you know, and you want to patch it up, you push it underwater and move it along until you find where the air bubbles come up and you know where to patch. See, the point is we're helping each other grow and heal up. And sometimes pressure is needed to see where that hole is. But as long as our desire is to help that person heal, then there are times where, and this is usually God that's applying the pressure. You understand that? God isn't. Okay, you ready for this? This is it. I'm gonna stand up here to say this because it takes courage to go to the places God wants to take you. It takes a lot of courage because all of us got our stuff. And unfortunately, some people have a lot more stuff than others because of things that happened to them in their life. I'm not saying it's fair. I'm just saying that's the way it is. And because of that, because it takes courage, we're going to have to go ahead and face some of the pain. And we're going to have to be willing to trust people. And I realize it takes time to trust. But you begin to trust people, wow, you know what? I can't deny they really do have my best interests at heart. I'm going to trust you to see things in me and to go ahead and expose them because I know you're not doing this to destroy me. You're doing this to help me and to lift me up and to raise me up. Once you really start believing that, you're well on your way to healing and onto the fullness of what God has for you. Now, I understand that trust is really difficult, especially for people where that was badly broken in the past, which is why we don't force, you can't force people to deal with their stuff. You can keep loving them, but if they're not willing to, you just kind of got to wait it out. And I know some people here, it's taken them a few years to get to a place where they go, wow, you guys really do love me. You have my best in mind. And that's okay. Sometimes it takes some time. All right. Here's keys to confrontation. He gives three of them. One is trust. I just mentioned that. I will just say this. If you do not have, if the person you are trying to confront does not trust you, it's not going to go very far. This is different than when I'm saying, please don't pray for me, I'm not comfortable. That's not what I'm talking about. You all have permission to do that. But I'm saying when you want to actually, you're seeing some major character defect in somebody, but you have not built the trust with them by loving them over time, you're probably not the one to approach them and deal with that. God can give you grace, it can happen, but I'm saying most of the time it's got to be someone that they trust. Which is why I just told you for the last several years, we have been building up this culture of love and grace and acceptance. It's so important because that's the only way we can move on to the areas of helping you heal up. So the trust is one. Self-control. This is interesting. It's talking about the person doing the confronting. So if I'm going to confront somebody in love to restore them, I have to have self-control. Because if I don't, I will try to control them. I will try to make them do what I want them to do for my sake rather than seeing the best in them. And if I start to control them, what happens when you start to control people? They revolt. That's a good word. They get out of control. In other words, you want to see the worst in somebody, you come against them hard. And you'll see the worst in somebody. It will spring out almost every time. So the person doing the confronting, you have to come with self-control of I'm not in this to control you, so I'm just going to continue to see the best in you. I'm going to share some things with you if you'll let me. And actually, let me move on to the third one because it comes in right here. And I'm going to ask some really good questions for you to discover for yourself some of those areas in your life that need healing. Questions are a really great way to do this. Because if you're just coming to somebody and telling them what the problem is, well, that's what they got their whole life. And most people are going to shut you out really quick. But if you develop a gift with the Holy Spirit's help of asking really great questions, if they can see it for themselves, now they're willing for something to happen so that it doesn't have to stay that way. So let me just give a couple of them. I'm wondering if you knew how what you said affected that person. I'm wondering if you knew. You see what I'm saying? You're just pondering in front of them and letting them kind of go, oh, yeah, that probably wasn't real good. Here's another one. What are you going to do? Where's Donna? Oh, Donna, what are you going to do about this problem with Susan? Yes. She says, now that I've heard the message, you're going to talk to her. Donna, I am so proud of you. Because what happens is we try to be everybody's problem solvers. And that's really, it's much better if you allow them to solve their own problems. If you actually trust that God's working in them. And so when they come to you with a problem, it's amazing too. Some people will talk and talk about something, and then you realize at the end, they never really asked you for anything. So you might want at the end just to say, was there something you wanted me to do? Was there, you know, some way I could help you? If not, there's really nothing for you to do. How's that working out for you? How's that working out for you? You know? Gosh, I just keep going to that person and yelling at them, and all of a sudden they don't like me. You know, oh, you're yelling at them. How's that working for you? I'm wondering if you'd like to try a different approach. Anyway, you understand. You just ask questions. There was something I wanted to hit just a minute ago. Okay, maybe I'll come back to it. Oh, do you want any help with this? I think I already said that. Just asking, and some people are not even wanting help. So, here we go. This is how I'm going to end this thing. Okay, God is for you. That is very biblical. God is absolutely 100% every second of the day for you. That's some really good news right there. Absolutely for you. This creator of the universe who has all resources chooses to use them on your behalf. He is for you. Absolutely for you. And the reason why I'm bringing that up is because, again, in a talk like this, for some of you, it could even just talking about this can bring up some stuff. Either in your own self, like, this is too scary, I don't want this. Or it could be, I really wish I hadn't dealt with certain things the way I did. You know what? God's for you. God is for you. He wants you healed up way more than you do. He just needs the littlest little inch of a movement to, okay, God, I'll do this. He'll take that a long ways if you're willing. So I want to tell you, we talk about world changers. You're all world changers. Well, you know what? Those who are going to change the world, God's going to heal you up first. And I will tell you this too. Some of you have already discovered this, but the greater the word spoken of your life, the greater the dream, the more character development that comes into you before you're released. So some of you get this amazing word and you think it's for yesterday, you know, or tomorrow. He says, oh, no. I will remind you, Saul gets blinded by Jesus, you know, learns who this amazing person is who died for him, becomes Paul. You'd think, I mean, in our minds, we think, oh, and he went out and went and changed the world. No, no, he didn't. God worked on his character for 14 years. Read it in Galatians. That's a long time. Are you kidding me? Doesn't God have souls to save? Wouldn't it have been wiser to get like him moving a little quicker? See, God's really not in a huge hurry the way we think. The way we think. God, you are wasting your time. The best years of my life are going by. He says, no, I mean, look what he did. He waited all this time with Paul, and then look what he did with him. In a few years' time, he did. He rocked the world. He rocked that whole region, Middle Eastern region, once he was ready. And by the way, they had plenty of conflicts and confrontation in the book of Acts. You ever read that? Oh, yeah. Between each other. They didn't always agree on everything. Did you know that? And they confronted each other. But you know what? They were on the same team. They were on the same page. They were going after the same goal. They loved the same Jesus. They knew who they were, belonging to the Father. So they could move through that. They could move through that and be stronger than when they started. That's why we're going there together. Y'all okay with that? Does this make sense? Am I not scaring you? Just go like this. Say, no, you're not scaring me. So, as a leadership team, believe me, we're the ones that have to live it out. Otherwise, we have no right, you know, doing that with any of you. And confrontation is, I will say this, it's not a one-way street. It's anybody who has relationship who wants to help that person. So, it isn't a control maneuver at all. It really isn't. God allowed Abraham and Moses, we have two of them written right there in Scripture, allowed them to confront him. You may not think of it that way, but that's what happened. And he changed his mind. They said, God, that's not such a good idea. And he said, all right then. That's good. I like your heart. Where'd you get that heart? Oh yeah, from me. So it is not a power control play thing at all. It's a mutual love thing that we gotta go to these places together. So let's go ahead and stand. You guys have been awesome. Because I just want to speak a blessing over you. As I do this, you know what? I actually got. A little leap in my spirit earlier today when I was thinking about this, so I knew it was the right thing. I want to ask that anybody who's currently involved in Kingdom training classes, I want to ask you to come up and be the prayer teams today. So would you go ahead and come on up right now, if you want to, I won't make you. Oh, thanks, Todd. And these are amazing people who have already been through, some of them, they've gone through it more than 1 year, but they've already been through all of our core values. They got the love, the grace, the acceptance. They got all that down. They're right now going through training with healing and prophecy. Yeah. And for those of you where that sounds like a cool thing, we will definitely do it again next September. And in fact, we're heading towards a day school next fall. More to come. That was just a teaser. But first, I'm going to bless you. So just go ahead and, yeah, receive. Father, I want to thank you that you are so committed to us. You are so radically committed to your kids. Thank you, God. That's the only way we can feel secure. But thank you, Father, that you are for us. You are for us. You are for us. In fact, would every one of you in this room just say, God, you are for me. Just say it. God, you are for me. That's right. I'm telling you right there, truth does something to us. God, you are for me. You are not against me. You are for me. Thank you, Father. Thank you. And Lord, I'm just asking that, as we just talked about, the courage that's going to be needed to go ahead and let you touch some of those areas, to even expose the hole where the air is coming up under the water. We're saying, and if you mean this, you can say it too, is God, we give you permission. We give you permission to do that. Because we want to walk in the fullness of everything you have for us, just like Paul did. We want that, God. So we give you permission to do what you need to do. And God, I'm just asking, help us. Holy Spirit, you're the helper. Help us to grow up into these relationships, these covenant relationships, where we truly are in it for each other's best. Where we can lovingly confront with gentleness and without judgment in our hearts. Thank you that that's where you're taking us, God. And so, Father, I just also want to speak blessing and grace over every person, that no matter what they heard, if they were thinking, oh no, I blew that one, I blew this relationship, or how I did that, God, would you just wash over that with your grace? Because, God, you are much bigger still. No matter what mistakes we may have made in the past, you say, you know what, I can turn that around as well, and I will. So I just declare that, God, a turnaround of any mistakes we've made in our past, whether it's with our kids or spouse or friends or family or whoever. God, thank you. We're declaring that you will turn those around. You will turn those around for us. And Lord, now we're saying, we understand now that we're giving you permission so that we can, from this point on, move in a different way. That you'll teach us differently how to do things in love and grace as we confront each other, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, yay. So I welcome you. The prayer teams are up here for you just to give them a little bit of what you need. Don't give them the big version. Just give them a little bit of what you think your need and let them bless you. Let them, if you need prayer for physical healing, emotional healing, you know, if something got stirred up, you want someone to pray, come on up. All right, bless you.